It's a great privilege to be able to get together tonight and to share some pre-Pesach Divrei Torah together as a tzibur, since we won't be able to do so over Pesach. I shared with some people on Shabbos, that following Shabbos HaGadol, the drasha on Thursday night, it just hit me that we're not going to be together, that somehow all of our tefillos and all of the yearning that we had to be able to reconvene together as a tzibur has not yet reached the desired effect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not allowed us to come back. And Shabbos HaGadol is one thing, maybe selfishly as a rabbi, to be able to not be able to be Marbitz Torah in person. But I think that we can all appreciate the fact that we're not going to be able to daven, to say Hallel together on Chag HaPesach, to feel that sense of chayrus that can only be experienced as a tzibur, is something that, for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing us to have right now. We can't have this year. And it's painful. It's painful to not be able to see each other in person. It's painful to see, I think, one person's video up. So many people's faces are hidden. There's so much Hester Punim. And the person who's looking for connection has opened himself up. And there's some more people, thank you, who are looking to get beyond this Hastara, this hiddenness, this darkness, to be able to connect in person. And it's a challenge. It's another challenge that we have to deal with. What I'd like to speak about tonight, as we prepare for Pesach together, is exactly the perplexity and the layers of complexity that we have endured over the last number of weeks. When this started, when we began to be distant from one another, so we did it because we were health conscious, we're trying to protect each other's lives, and there were shilas that came to me about an individual who unfortunately became ill. And you know, illness itself is enough of a patch, is enough of a makkah that it hurts. We cry, we cringe, we might even be crippled, maybe not physically, but emotionally, caring for somebody who's sick. That's enough. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make it harder because that person has to go to the hospital. But that person who's going to the hospital can't go with a relative if they're an adult, because the hospitals are trying to protect the rest of the family. And so they're not able to come in with others. They have to be there by themselves. Another patch, another kind of makkah. And then that person goes for a surgery and they're all alone being brought into the operating room. And they come back from the operating room and there's nobody to hold their hand. And there's nobody to bring them a balloon or a flower or a card. And that would be enough. And there's no way for the family to be able to get in contact with the nurses or the doctors who are caring for this patient, because they're too busy saving lives, running from one patient in one bed to the next. Hospitals are short-staffed because so many doctors and nurses and support staff themselves are not well. And so the family can't even get an update in a timely manner of how the person is doing. And that's another makkah and another layer of complexity. And then that person, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away. And the Chevra Kedisha can't do what it typically does to be mechabe, to honor the person who has now passed on to the Olam HaEmes. And it's a makkah to the Chevra, it's a makkah to the family, it's a makkah to the friends and to the Rabbanim who cry over each one of these tragedies. And then maybe the Tahara can't be done properly. And then they go to Kvuras Yisrael. What is Chus? As Mori V'Rebbe Rav Shechter said, at least we can bury them the way we need to. And when I heard that, my jaw dropped, tears streaming down my face as they were down his. That we've reached a point that we're happy just to be able to bring somebody to Kvuras Yisrael. But they can't be there with the minyan. And the Avelim can't even say Kaddish because of restrictions imposed by the government for our safety. Another Makkah. And the Levayah that's done before the Kvura is never Lefikvod, the Mace, the Niftar. Anybody would have a group of neighbors, of friends, of relatives, of cousins, of extended family. And the biggest tzaddik, the Navi Minsker Rebbe, who is Nifter today, couldn't have the Levayah that he deserved. And there's no difference between a person who's a Gadol Ador, who's the Rosh Moetzos HaGadolah of Agudas Yisrael, or the most simple, unassuming person in Klal Yisrael. None of them get the kavod and the respect that they deserve. And that's another Makkah. And then they go home. And the Avel, if it's a man, can't daven with a minyan, can't say Kaddish during Shiva, can't be mechabi their loved one in the way that Halacha tells us we should. And another layer of pain and complexity piled on top of the mourning and the grief. And they can't say Kaddish for who knows how long. As Shloshim will be over for Avelim tomorrow with the arrival of Zman Chiruseinu. And for some, their Avelos is curtailed because of the Yom Tov, and they'll never be able to say Kaddish. And it goes on and on. And the challenge of how difficult this is, of no Menachemim, of no people who are able to come and visit this Avel in person. We need to do it over the phone. We need to do it over Zoom. And for each of these, at some point, as I was discussing and just pouring my heart out and my tears to a rabbinic colleague, I said, it's the inverse of Dayenu. It's almost the opposite of what we should be talking about at this time of year. So many makos. There's a part of the Haggadah of the Leil HaSeder, and for some of you, this might be a little bit of Chazara. We've discussed this in conversations that we've been fortunate to have in the past couple of days. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a mathematically inclined individual. There's a reason I went for smicha. I have rabbinic colleagues who could have been actuaries and brilliant mathematical minds. I've never been into math. And so by the time we get to the part of the Haggadah where we're trying to darshan and cheshbon out, how many makos were there in Mitzrayim? Were there 10? Were there 50? Were there 250? Every year I think to myself, and as I try to be masber and share this with my children now as they get older, Baruch Hashem, I struggle with it tremendously. It's late. We can almost see the end of Magid, the ability to eat a little bit. It's been such a long day. What are we doing here? Wallowing in a little bit of math. And I heard a pshat from Rav Meir Twersky Shlita in the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, that this year brings it home in a way that I never could have understood it until today. Why is it? Common understanding is that the more makos that we had in Mitzrayim, the fewer makos that Klal Yisrael will ever have to endure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rofei Ne'aman, he's going to heal us, and he makes a commitment. Any makos that Hashem brought in Mitzrayim, we're not going to have to worry about. That's the simple, contemporary, the most common understanding. But what Twersky says is that really what this means is that there were 10 makos. L'kuli alma lo pligi, everybody agrees. The Torah says there were 10 makos in Mitzrayim. But said Rav Soloveitchik, within those 10, there was so much more. There were sub-makos. And in today's time, we have one makkah called coronavirus, COVID-19. And everybody agrees it's a terrible thing. It's a pandemic. It has left no part of the world unaffected by this. Whether people who have Nebuch passed away, whose families are in Avelos, people who are sick and on ventilators, or fortunate to be sick at home, and those of us who are Baruch Hashem healthy, and worried about how we can continue to keep ourselves healthy. Others who are out of work because of the economic impact, others whose hours at work have been cut, people whose schedules have been turned upside down, teachers who have had to learn a whole new modality of education and being able to teach children over the internet and parents having to manage all of that. It's a whole new world. And each of those are sub-makos of the 10. And if you count up and you think about what I described at the very beginning of our time together this evening, probably 10 to 15 right there, you could easily come up with 50, maybe even 250. It says with Soloveitchik, that's the pshat and what we're trying to understand, that each of those sub-makos that Hashem brought on Mitzrayim, they also should never come back. And so today we understand how 10 makos can somehow spawn 250 makos, all within the overarching umbrella title of 1 or 10 makos of what we have coronavirus today. And yet it's interesting, because everybody wakes up, no matter how disinterested you become, and maybe eyes glazing over, falling asleep, dozing off as we go through that discourse, everybody wakes up right after that. We sing the song of Dayenu, probably one of the most well-known songs from the Haggadah, even known beyond the Orthodox or even Jewish world. And we go through 15 stanzas of events thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that would have been enough all by themselves. Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim v'lo asabahem shvatim, had Hashem just taken us out of Mitzrayim, and he hadn't judged the Egyptians for the torture that they brought upon the Jewish people, that would have been enough. Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai, if Hashem had led us through the desert to the footsteps of Har Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah, and he didn't even give us the Torah, he just brought us to Har Sinai, dayenu. That would have been enough. But how could that have been enough? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu by the snap that I'm going to take you out so that you can serve me here on this mountain. So how could we possibly say, dayenu, it's enough? It's enough to have arrived here. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to be able to enter into a covenant of bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beit HaMikdash, and for each of those things we say, dayenu, no, each one of them, without the rest, would have been enough. Really? You've only had one cup of wine. We're not drunk enough to say, yeah, that would have been enough. What does that even mean? So the Malbim, in his commentary, has a very different interpretation. Based on the preamble, the prelude, the introductory line that we recite before we say Dayenu, Kama malos tovos lamakom aleinu, usually translated to mean that God has bestowed so many favors upon us. And so we go on and we list 15 different things that Hashem has done for us, and for each of those things we're grateful. And yet that interpretation opens up a Pandora's box of questions. Because it wouldn't have been enough if we would have left Egypt and they hadn't been punished. And it would not have been enough if we just had the man, or we just had Shabbos, or we just got to Har Sinai, or we even entered into Eretz Yisrael but didn't have the essence of what the Kedushas HaAretz was all about, of being able to bring Karbanos and Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaBechira. And so therefore the Malbim feels compelled to offer an alternate interpretation that I think you will love and take to your Seder this year. He says that Malos does not mean steps. It doesn't mean that each stage would have been enough. It's not true. It would not have been enough. It would have violated the promises that Hashem gave to our forefathers, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. What the Malbim says Malos means is praises. Malos, there's so many. Kama Malos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu. We have so many things that we need to praise Hashem for. La'alei v'le'ul kaleis. To praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama malos tovos lamakom aleinu. How many praises do we have, are we incumbent to offer to Hashem tonight on this Leil HaShimurim? Because it wouldn't have been enough to be in the desert without getting the Torah. The purpose of the Torah was to get to Eretz Yisrael. And we're not even meant to be living here. At the end of the Seder, we say, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. We know we're not meant to live in Union or Elizabeth, or wherever else we're tuning in from tonight. It's not that each step was enough. It's how much praise is it incumbent upon us to offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this night, after going through the entire Maggid of all of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Bechol HaMarbe, Harezeh Meshubach, we spent more than we have to simply tell the historical story, the historical account. We've gone above and beyond. And so now that we have that perspective, we should have a greater level of appreciation and more praise that is effusive, that simply comes out naturally from us. Because it's not that each step was enough. Each step independently obligates us to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a 78-year-old man who recently was hospitalized and intubated in Long Island as he tried to fight COVID-19. B'chasdei Hashem, the man was released from the hospital to recover, to continue his recovery at home. Baruch Hashem, that seems to be the majority. And Emir Hashem, everybody who's in the hospital should be released Bekarov in better health. But this individual, upon discharge, not sure which hospital it was, it's not typical, he was given a bill. And he was told that the oxygen that he was given over the course of his hospitalization was worth $5,000 per 24 hours. Probably inflation, hospital billing issues. Now, Hatzalah brings us a canister of oxygen. It certainly doesn't cost $5,000. But in this hospital, for whatever reason, this person's care was valued at $5,000, and the man began to cry. He looked at the paper, and he looked at the employee who gave him this piece of paper, and he began to cry. The employee said, "Why? What's the problem? You have insurance. You don't have to pay $5,000. You'll have some copay. And if it's a hardship for you, you know, just call the billing department. We'll work out a billing plan, or we'll come up with something." And the man said, "I'm not crying because I have a bill for $5,000. I'm not worried about the financial outlays. The fact is that I have been given many more than 24 hours of oxygen at a cost of $5,000. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me 78 years in this world. 78 times 365 times 5,000, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of tefillos. How much do I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kol ha-neshama tehalel ka haleluka. Al kol neshima u-neshima, on every breath. We're supposed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu." As somebody who has asthma and has been in the hospital for respiratory distress, I know how difficult it is to not be able to breathe, to feel like every single breath is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And my anxiety has been so high the past number of weeks, thinking every time I cough or if my allergies are being triggered and I'm having a little bit of trouble breathing today. Is it COVID-19? Is it allergies? Is it in a productive cough? Baruch Hashem. Nobody ever thought a productive cough would be a reason to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it is. Because you can cough, because you can breathe. Who would ever think that the ability to breathe so many times a day has a value, has a price tag on it? And that's what we have today. This perspective to be able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol neshima u'neshima. Rabbosai, this Pesach is going to be different for everybody. It's not what we expected. It may not even be where we planned to spend Pesach. And in that sense, being confined to our home, being confined to a community that we maybe were not anticipating, feels like the very antithesis of Zman Chirusenu. But rather, it feels like we're restricted. And not in the freedom or restrictions of the Ol Malchus Shamayim, of the yoke of heaven that is always on us, but that there are limitations that are imposed on our freedom that make us feel less free this Pesach. And it's hard. And even if we are where we were planning to be, we might be with fewer people or nobody at all. And for that, I cry for you. The reality of having to spend the Seder by oneself, Chazal talk about it in the Gemara and Psachim, it's a reality. It's happened before. And yet we know that it's just not the Yiddish way. Kol tich ben yesei v'yechol. Everybody invites people to their homes for a Seder. Nobody should spend the Pesach alone. And yet so many are. Because we hope that if we do it this year, we'll be able to spend it together again next year in Eretz Hashem in Yerushalayim. And so this is different. And we're right, we might not be feeling as grateful for the opportunity to spend Pesach by ourselves, a three-day Yom Tov, a Seder by ourselves. How many new Chidushim can we come up with from one night to the next? Nobody's asking us any kashas, other than what's going on in our heads. And yet, Rabosai, as cliche as it sounds, this year, the opportunity to spend Zman Chiruseinu at a Seder table with matzahs, with four cups of wine, with all of the delicacies, as basic as they may be, is itself a bracha. There have been times that the Jewish people have been tested before. Just one or two generations ago, there were people that were able to gather together on the Leil HaSeder, but they were in concentration camps, and they didn't have matzah. They certainly didn't have maror, in the physical sense, emotionally for sure. And this year, we're able to be with other people. We have the matzah, we have the maror, but we don't have the social accompaniment. We don't have the family around us. There are different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests us over the generations. In the Pesach reader that I sent out in the shul's email today, there's a whole kuntres on times that Klal Yisrael has had to endure challenges medically, physically, of illness and pandemics and epidemics. And so this is new for us. It's hard. It's heartbreaking. It's really challenging. But it's up to us if we can elevate ourselves to be able to reach a point where we can enter tomorrow night and to be able to say with incredible kavana, Shehechianu, literally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to live. V'kiyamanu, and He sustains us. V'higiyanu, and He has brought us. Lazman hazeh. To be in the comfort of our homes, to be able to worship Him in the way that He wants us to this year, even if we don't understand why. But this is the place to be mekanish our homes, so that Be'ezras Hashem will be able to open the door to Eliyahu HaNavi, who's going to be marching down, being Mevaser, the Mashiach, Tzidkenu, B'meir Aviyameinu. And to be able to bring that sense of simcha on such a simple level, to be able to breathe, to be able to say brachos, to be able to eat the matzah, one of the few achilas mid araisa, the eatings that we do that's literally flishei mitzvah. And for those basic things, if we can take heart, take that to heart, kama malas tovos lamakom aleinu, in the Mirtz Hashem, we truly will be besimcha. Because we won't weigh as much the dayenus have had the challenging the past number of weeks have been. But you know what? We've been strong. B'siyata d'shmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the strength and the ability to prepare for Pesach with the guidance and the hadracha, the hours and hours that our poskim have given to us, that the Vaad has thought about how to make this Pesach manageable for the community, employing whatever kulas we can, so that everybody can sit down besimcha to be able to feel that Zman Chiruseinu, that I am leaving Mitzrayim tomorrow night Be'ezras Hashem, and that we'll all be able to gather together in Yerushalayim. That is the perspective that I think we must muster. We must bring with us to the Seder table, to the Leil HaSeder tomorrow night, again Thursday night. And Mirtz Hashem, that perspective of praise, of malos, not being steps, it's not enough. But we have an infinite amount of praise that we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to be able to be together for davening. Take some extra time, whether you're by yourself, whether you're zochet to be with a family member, to sing that hallel so melodiously as you would in shul. Don't fly through it. Don't skimp on anything on the Seder table. Make it beautiful. You're a king. You're a queen. Make it as amazing as it would be in any other year. regardless of how many people. Dress up in your yuntif finest, your nicest clothes, your nicest jewelry and sheitlach. Wear what you can to be able to mechabed and to feel that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and to say thank you for the opportunity. And we all be zocha to gather together. It's not too late tomorrow morning to go to Yerushalayim Lechom and Asvachim and Apsachim, to be able to bring the Karban Pesach. And if not this year, certainly very soon, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu hear our tfilos. May He rejoice in our shiros v'sishpachos, in our hallel, in our malos. And may He lift this terrible, terrible magefa from Klal Yisrael, from the world, so we can continue to worship Him, Avdei Hashem, in the fullest sense, to gather again as a tzibur, to be able to daven together, to learn together, to do bikur cholim and nichum aveilim and all the other mitzvos that are dependent on others. B'shlei Musa. Wishing everybody a beautiful Chag Kasher v'Sameach. And it's not trite. It's not just Kasher. We've been working so hard to make Pesach Kasher this year despite the circumstances. But don't forget that last word. V'Sameach, to be happy, to enjoy all of the work and the toil, no matter how much your body is aching right now. To be able to enter it with a sense of simcha. It's a beautiful opportunity. And Baruch Hashem for that. Wishing everybody, your family, yourselves, the community, Klal Yisrael, Chag Kasher.